You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
If the ATM you usually use to withdraw money was destroyed in the recent riots in KZN or Gauteng, your bank will not charge you an additional fee to use another ATM, even if it belongs to another bank. This is part of the relief measures the banking sector has announced to support its customers that were impacted by the unrest. But we have FNB CEO Jacques Celliers on the line to tell us what FNB is doing specifically for its clients. So Jacques, thanks so much for your time. Other than not charging your customers for using another bank's ATM, what other relief measures is FNB providing?
Thanks for the opportunity and good evening to the listeners. It's sort of two-pronged approach for us as we set off to understand the response to the disruptions. The first was to make sure that we, as fast as possible, return and replace our infrastructure that was damaged. And that obviously means ATM speed point terminals, branches. You know, some of them might take a little bit longer, but we very, very deliberately going to replace as much as we possibly can, because we know those communities really depend on that infrastructure to get access to their monies. So that was the first theme. The second theme we tried to do with the rest of the industry was to make sure that we take a bit of friction out where it could disrupt people's lives. For example, you refer to the example of people wanting to use each other's ATMs and not incurring that extra fee just because one bank's ATM might be destroyed and the one next door is not. So we're trying to use each other's infrastructure. So that's a very good thing from the industry perspective. And then the third one now goes into customer relief. And customer relief, you can appreciate that not all customers are impacted in the same way. You've got retail customers and commercial customers. And for each of those, we put a series of solutions in play to ultimately help them with this additional disruption they're going through at the moment.
Before we get into those solutions, I read in a statement issued by the Banking Association that it typically costs around 385,000 to set up one ATM. I don't know what your thoughts or about those numbers are, but on a personal level, how many FNB ATMs were hit and what was the financial impact from the riots to your bank?
So you're right. It costs a lot of money to repair these ATMs. I mean, we used to, being impacted, as you know, ATM bombings and things that happen to us on a regular basis and destructions. But I think there was about between 270 and 300 ATMs. You know, we're still working through all the detail, dependent on exactly how much damage there was. Some was quickly repairable. Some are totally destroyed. So we're going through that. Infrastructure costs obviously are different when we just have to replace a machine as opposed to having to replace a whole building. So there's a different cost elements, you know, in this overall, but it's going to cost a lot of money. Fortunately, clearly from our perspective, we're in a well-insured space. So it might take some time to get our insurance out, but I think the real damage is not our world. The real impact really is on customers. You know, we've lost everything. Many of them aren't insured, and it's our job to get out there and help them as fast as possible. So that's what our focus is in the moment. We're rushing out and making sure we can help our customers.
At the onset of the pandemic, we did see the banking sector help customers through payment reliefs for loans, for their mortgages, for their car installments and the like. So in terms of the relief that you're providing this time around, can you just paint a bit of color, starting first with just your household or your ordinary customer?
Okay, so you're 100% right. A lot of the innovations that we have over the years done to help people with restructuring their financial affairs. You know, we've always been in the business of credit, and people go through the ups and downs, lose a job or not. But at scale, when it all hits you like it hit us last year, we obviously had to innovate a lot of processes and solutions that could help at scale. And many of those are still relevant. So, for example, you used a little bit of payment holiday as an example. So certainly at a customer level, that's available to them to use, and also expedited insurance claim processes to get them, to be able to leverage those. So both at an individual and a commercial level, payment holidays and expedited insurance processes. And then the new innovations that we are trying to do now is because it is going to be It's going to take some time before the insurance, claims, given the volumes, would be able to pay out here. You know, some of these claims, as you could imagine, are going to be quite complicated to get right. And so we must give the assessors some time to get that certainty and make sure they don't make mistakes on the insurance claim. So we're going to try and innovate based on customer behavior, some earlier relief and releasing of certainly some short-term facilities to help businesses restock and get some cleanups done and get some security going so that they can at least get some trade going, especially in places that potentially haven't been totally, destroyed.
Mm.
The total destroyed environments is going to take some time because that obviously will have to be rebuilt. But the ideal would be for us to quickly get some trade out in those communities so we can get salaries paid and people can get some normality into their businesses.
This bridging finance, I think it's called. If I can just talk about what this could potentially mean for your businesses who are waiting for Sasria to pay out claims. I mean, what do you have a maximum cap at which you'll seal the level of a bridging finance that you will provide at the stage, and who will be able to qualify?
Yeah, no, we don't have caps. I mean, our customers are all, customer by customer solutions. Certainly in commercial, the uniqueness of each customer is important to factor in. You know, some businesses have had very good balance sheets going into this challenge, and others have been struggling in any case already. You know, so some sectors are still, as you know, from COVID, not having recovered, like the tourism sector, as an example. So some not all of them are the same, And then also what is different is it depends on the quantum of your damage. So for some, as I say, if it was just the shelves being looted, we can quickly replace the stock and clean up the facility and start trading. And others requires, a very deep analysis about how do we rebuild. And some business owners actually might use the opportunity to relocate into other part of a community or the other part of the city, or, while the disruptions are there, they might have to readjust their businesses in any case. So each of these are a little bit unique, but our teams on the ground are really reaching out and touching base and trying to find as many solutions as possible.
Because the question that comes to mind is, I mean, if you weren't a F&B customer in good standing, perhaps you were behind on payments before this happened, would you be able to qualify for some of this relief?
Yeah, so again, it's based on, sort of industry by industry. Some sectors, as I say, even if you get the building fixed up and the business rebuilt, it might not be able to trade, get going in any case. And the business owners might just choose to close doors in any case. So it's we don't have one formula yet.
All right.
What we do find is that clearly we have sort of line of sight of through these type of events. When we take credit decisions, we don't take it for next month. We take it for a period. It depends on obviously different companies who've got different dynamics. But ideally, if you give a business, sort of a year or two to trade themselves back into their repayment behavior, then I think we could see last year, as an example, all of the payment relief we made. We were really, really impressed about how people could readjust their businesses, make a plan B, C, D, E, get alternative income, side hustles. It's amazing how much magic our entrepreneurs on the ground do to keep their businesses going. So our job is to try and find any of those opportunities and help from finance.
One more question on the bridging finance. I think that what we have seen in the past while is that while SMEs are keen on getting a little help from their bank, they are often concerned about the rate of interest at which that help will be afforded to them. So what interest rates are we potentially looking at here?
Yeah, all these relief measures are unique customer by customer. Obviously, okay. Each customer is a bit different, but we don't do relief and at profit margins. So the relief per customer will be based on just somehow recovering some of our costs in that structure. But there's no exploiting opportunity here for us, so we certainly don't approach it from that perspective. These are commercial interests for us to make sure that we get our customers trading. There's no interest, over a two or three month period, interest rates don't make the big difference.
Mm.
The most important thing is to get liquidity. And if you can get liquidity into the business, that would ultimately get them to trade.
And these payment holidays, the period that they'll last for?
Yeah, so again, each customer might need different needs. Some of them just need a month or two breather. Some have got like a sort of, on average, between 2 and 3 months is what we've experienced, you know, last year was needed. And then people start paying them back. And actually, many people have finished paying them back already. So it's from last year. So we see that that also a little bit different per sector. And clearly, the requirement here is not necessarily to focus too much on the a 2 or 3 month holiday, but rather on the additional credit that people will need to get their businesses rebuilt properly. I mean, that's really what it's about. It's unlocking liquidity so that people can get their businesses restocked and rebuilt.
Jacques, just last question. What's your thinking around helping the uninsured businesses, particularly those that weren't even paying their taxes?
Yeah, so those are a little bit more difficult, and we've noted obviously the government's also trying to help through their processes. So we'll have to spend a little bit more time on that. It's difficult to because some of those we don't have any information on, even, you know, or the data on. So we're going to have to again work on a client by client basis. You know, it's tough. You know, the customer would have had a little factory full of stock on the Sunday, unfortunately just not insured, and then on the Monday morning that's all lost. You know, so. It is, you know, it's a massive, massive problem. And I think we're going to have to find solutions somehow through all of our stakeholders to get something done there.
And I think you're right. But thanks so much for your time, Jacques. We'll leave it there. FNB CEO, Mr. Jacques Cilliers.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.